You're listening to the Spark Radio Network, internet radio like you've never heard before. Innovation, creativity, and imagination are all said to begin with a spark. So fasten your seatbelt and take the ride of your life and listen for the spark.
You are listening to KLRN Radio, where liberty and reason still reign.
Hey, this is John Preston, Marine combat veteran and Pacific Records recording artist. Just reaching out to have you check out our new album, Battle Cry, Songs of America's Heroes, an album featuring phenomenal other combat veteran artists like Scott Brown of the Scooter Brown Band, Ryan Weaver, Rowdy Johnson, just an incredible mix of people. This is all veterans telling our stories and our lives, and we're giving 100% of our proceeds to the Valkyrie Initiative to help veterans and first responders integrate back into society. I myself have battled with post-traumatic stress for many years and lost my own brother, a Marine Corps veteran, to suicide. I ask that you step with us and make this happen. We are in pre-order right now and release on March 17th. Go to iTunes, go to Amazon, buy. We plan on making the charts and making it at a very high level, and your support right now makes a difference. This is the release of my new song, Superman Falls, which is actually about the loss of my own brother, which happened last year, and I would love for everyone to check it out, to listen, and hopefully it'll make a difference in many lives.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-553-8687. That's 800-553-8687. Again, 800-553-8687.
This is Slickery Trigger for Rebel Road Tactical. With proper care and feeding, your pistol will be ready when you need it, there to save your life. Shouldn't your gear be that good? Whether you need a holster for comfortable everyday carry or a tough-as-nails holster for your next training course, Rebel Road Tactical has what you need. Check us out on the web at rebelroadtactical.com.
Sometimes riders feel lost, unsure why a passage may not be working. It takes another set of eyes to help us nurture our riding into full maturity. At Black Wolf Editorial Services, we strive to enable riders to develop and grow, offering manuscript critiques and line edits through a mentoring editorial style. We also offer assistance on generating a writer's bio for your websites. Black Wolf Editorial Services, nurturing your writing into maturity. For a full list of services, visit blackwolfeditorial.com.
Here's George Foreman with InventHelp.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? Do you have the same questions? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp has been helping inventors for more than 30 years and has sales offices nationwide. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. If you have an idea and want to try to patent it and submit it to companies, you should call InventHelp today for free information.
Listen, I can't guarantee a company will be interested in your idea, but I believe every inventor deserves the opportunity to step into the ring and take their best shot. Put InventHelp in your corner.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-353-6490. That's 1-800-353-6490. Again, 1-800-353-6490.
KLRN Radio has advertising rates available. We have rates to fit almost any budget. Contact us at advertising@klrnradio.com.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-553-8687. That's 800-553-8687. Again, 800-553-8687.
Oh, let me tell you something. I am so sick of Washington and all its works, all them politicians down there and them congressmen. I'll bet you won't find none of them congressmen signing down their electric blankets tonight. Which if they did, their secretaries would get up and go home.
We gotta do something.
Absolutely.
You know what we gotta do?
Foga party.
Foga! Foga!
Foga!
I want you to kill every golfer on the course.
Check me if I'm wrong, Sandy, but if I kill all the golfers, they're gonna lock me up and throw away the key.
Fire and brimstone coming down from the skies. Rivers and seas boiling.
40 years of darkness, earthquakes, volcanoes.
The dead rising from the grave.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria.
Good evening, folks. Welcome to Robinson and Wright. That was a brief recap of everything that's gone on in Berkeley for the last few days. I am Mr. Rick Robinson, one half of the crew, joined by Mr. Dan Wright. And neither one of us have voices tonight, so this should be entertaining. Good evening, sir. How are you?
Yeah. We're both fighting the allergy game. It's awesome. I actually was supposed to start my solo show on Wednesday, which is the right side. And on Tuesday, I literally had no voice. So this is my new and improved Dan voice right here. I actually have my voice sort of back. I would get like the first syllable of a word out and everything would go silent. That's how bad it was on Tuesday.
I don't know. You've got a little more bass going on. You kind of sound a little bit like Barry White. I'm just saying.
You want me to sing?
No, please don't. We'll lose the one listener. So anyway, lots of stuff going on in the news. Anything you want to lead off with?
Well, man, there's all kinds of stuff going on. North Korea tries to fire another missile, another dud.
I'm so lonely.
I don't know. I guess he's reaching out for friends.
He spent yesterday firing rockets into a hill to try to intimidate us. He lined up all of his mobile rocket launchers and fired a few million dollars worth of rockets to destroy a hill to make us think he's bad or something. The guy wants to keep poking. He's going to cause some serious problems for himself in this country.
I don't understand the logic. I mean, what kind of a show of strength is it to line up a bunch of mobile rocket launchers and shoot them at a hill? I mean, what does it prove?
It proves that his citizens are all hungry and he can blow millions of dollars throwing rockets into a hill.
I mean, I'm just curious, what is his exact thought process? Oh, America, this would be you if only my missiles could reach you. But they can't.
Yeah, that's it. Well, you know, he's threatened us over our carrier group being there. And he's threatened to attack the carrier group.
With what?
I don't care what he has. I don't care what he thinks. If he wants to threaten a United States carrier group, he might want to rethink that. He really might want to rethink that. The carrier group could pretty much decimate him pretty quick. He likes to have his little parades and show his army and everything else. His army does not compare at all to what we have. He wants one nuke. He wants to be able to get one nuke over here. That's his whole goal, is to get one nuke to the United States. I really think we can nip that in the bud before it happens.
I mean, I don't understand how many more times we're going to let him have these little shows of force before we finally just smack him across the face, because look, he's starving his own people. He's wasting money in just the hopes of being able to, at one point, fire off a nuke that's going to make it over here. I mean, which, as of right now, if he got lucky, he might be able to hit Berkeley. So there could be an upside. I'm just saying.
I'm seeing it. I'm seeing one of his little parades on my monitor right now. What he doesn't seem to understand is that all we have to do is know when he's having one of his little parades with his entire military going down the street and drop a MOAB on it.
Well, no, it's not just that.
And we would wipe out his entire military.
It's not just that. It's like when they were doing their little show of force the other day, he lined them all up in a row, and I'm just thinking, dude, one group of bombers and every piece of missile launching artillery he has is pretty much toast, because he just had them all lined up in nice little rows.
He lined all of his tanks up on the shoreline the other day. Like, every tank he had was lined up. Hundreds and hundreds of tanks lined up on the shoreline to show his massive army to the U.S. carrier group sitting out in the sea.
Yeah.
Boom. You just put your entire tank battalion in one place, and we could drop one bomb and destroy the whole thing.
Oh, no. See, yes, you're right. We could. But what I would do if I could, and again, this is not feasible for the moment because they're not in range right now. Because as far as I know, they haven't decommissioned the A-10s yet. I would send a whole squadron of A-10s right over there and just go, and they're done. That's just it.
Yeah. No, the A-10s are, that's one thing that I'm glad that Trump is in office, because I don't think the A-10's going anywhere now.
I really hope not.
That's one of our best weapons. I mean, you know, ISIS, they hear two GE turbofans coming over the mountain. They know they're in trouble.
Well, no, and exactly.
It's an awesome weapon.
And it's not just that. I mean, it's the fact of, you know, there's this, all of a sudden there was this, well, we can decommission this. And I'm like, decommission it for what? It still works. Why are we decommissioning things that still work?
Not only does it still work, it's the perfect weapon for the Middle East. It's the perfect weapon for desert warfare. It's the perfect weapon for urban warfare as far as air supremacy goes. Why decommission it?
Well, not to mention,
when Obama wanted decommission, I was like, what are you doing? The F-35 will not replace the A-10. Not in a long shot.
I've seen so many different mixed reviews on the F-35 to begin with. I mean, I see different things that are put out by different people that talk about what a great platform it is. And then I see little articles getting leaked all the time about technical issues and glitches and all this. And I'm just like, did we really spend all this money on this plane that we're probably never actually going to get to use because apparently it only works right about 50% of the time? Fun times.
And it's $1 billion over budget. You know, we're trying. The problem is for the last 8 years, it was trying to replace old technology that worked with new technology that wasn't tested yet. That's the problem with the F-35. If they could make it work, it'd be a great plane, but it still would never replace the capabilities of the A-10. It would never replace it. There is no way. There is no way it can give close support for troops on the ground like the A-10 does. I mean, to be honest with you, we have the AC-130. That gives close support better than the F-35 would, too. And it's a big, giant, freaking, you know, turboprop-driven plane. Yeah, and it will give better air support for troops on the ground than the F-35 will.
This is true. But all right, so I have a question.
We got started on aviation. I could do shows on aviation.
Oh, me too. That was one of my dreams as a kid was to be a fighter pilot. And because of eyesight issues, it was never a possibility. So I did other things instead, but it still didn't stop me from learning pretty much everything I could about aviation. And I grew up in a perfect time when they started putting out pretty realistic flight simulators. So I spent most of my teenage years dreaming that I was a pilot and blowing things up, even though I can't because I'd always had a bit of an eye issue. And as I'd gotten older, it had gotten a little worse. I did a surgery when I was a kid to get rid of it. And then fate gave it back to me while I was breaking up a bar fight. I just never bothered to get it fixed again because I'm like, screw it. I don't care anymore. I'm tired of having surgeries. I've had way too many surgeries in my life. I'm not going to keep having them. But anyway, kind of neither here nor there. I have a question because I've started to see people now that seem like they're actually getting a little frustrated that they don't feel like the administration has done enough so far when it comes to North Korea. Because now I'm seeing people start talking about red lines and how many red lines will we allow North Korea to cross until we do something. And to me, that's kind of dangerous talk. Because the issue isn't necessarily the fact that we could basically turn North Korea to glass. It's could we do it in time before they turn South Korea to glass? Because while his missiles can't find us, he could take out the capital of South Korea in about 30 seconds.
Yeah. We don't want war. I mean, to me, the North Korea thing right now is it's a sit and watch and watch what they do. I mean, as of right now, they have no way possible to get a nuke to the United States. I mean, unless they're cooperating with somebody that has a stub or something else that can fire a ballistic missile at the United States. There's no way. We need to keep watching, but as he keeps trying and keeps testing, we need to pay attention to that. He has a country full of brainwashed people. You know, I mean, people will say, well, they're not innocent. They agree with him. Well, they're brainwashed. The only way they can get food is to agree with him. We can't just destroy an entire country. Not without absolute reason to. And red lines, you can sit here and put red lines. I think the red line is he has the capability. That's the red line to me. I mean, to keep a force there in the Japanese Sea and let it be known we're there, and let it be known we're in South Korea. I think that's, you know, he's a nut, but he has to know. He absolutely has to know that we could completely decimate his entire country with the push of a button in a couple of hours. He has to know that.
Well, I mean, here's the thing.
He wants sanctions lifted. That's why he's going to keep doing this. This is his goal. It's to get sanctions lifted. He wants money. He doesn't, well, he may want to destroy us, but I mean, essentially he doesn't want to destroy us. He wants money. He wants more money coming into his country. That's what he wants.
No, exactly. So, you know, just for fun, because we opened up with North Korea, I found something that I think could be entertaining to talk about. This actually comes from a paper out of New Delhi, India. It's 10 myths that are fact in North Korea. Myth number one, Kim Jong-il invented the hamburger, as far as North Korea is concerned. Kim Jong-il had a supernatural birth. Move over, Jesus. Based on Kim Jong-il's official biography, he was born on Korea's most sacred mountain, Mount Bakaido. At the moment of his birth, a new star formed and illuminated the sky. The season suddenly changed from winter to spring. A double rainbow appeared. Soviet records paint a far more boring picture. Kim Jong-il seemed to have been born in 1941 in the Siberian village of Vashtovia. Kim Jong-il is a fashion icon, is another myth. Kim Jong-il invented the hamburger, gone over that one already. Kim Jong-il was a master golfer. Maybe that's why he was always so mad at Obama. Maybe he was mad because he never invited him. Kim Jong-il's never used a toilet. The Japanese stole time. AIDS, Ebola, MERS, and SARS are all easily curable, according to Kim Jong-il. And number 10, there is no internet, as far as Kim Jong-il and now Kim Jong-un and the North Korean government are concerned. So now the reason I brought this up was because you were talking about the fact that everybody's like, well, they're complicit in this because these people know what's going on. No, these people know what they're told to know. And they live in a country where they're not allowed to disagree, or they're not allowed to eat, or they don't have housing, or they don't have clothes, or they don't have a car. Very few of them have those things anyway. But the simple fact of the matter is you cannot disagree with the state or you don't have the things that you need. It's one of the reasons why a lot of us in America right now are jumping up, yelling, screaming, waving our arms saying, do you realize what you're doing when you give the government control of your health care? Do you realize what you're doing when you start saying you want the government to help you pay for your education? You want them to make it free for you. That means they're going to start being able to tell you what you're going to be able to be educated in if you want to be able to go to school. The more you give government control, the less free you are. These things that we're laughing about right now are proof of just how screwed up that country is. And I guarantee you, 95% of the people that live there, even if they don't believe those things, they repeat them because they have to.
Yeah. That's exactly it. You want something that will boggle your mind? I was involved in a social media thread today with an Antifa account. This account actually said, I do not kid here. We are communist anarchists. Have you ever heard a bigger oxymoron than communist anarchists? How can you be a communist anarchist?
I'm thinking you could just leave off the oxy and just call them a big moron because,
these are the people we are dealing with now. That they have such a lack of knowledge of civics and government that they will call themselves a commo anarchist. Communism is the absolute opposite end of anarchy. Communism is total control by the government over the people. Anarchy is no government, total control by the people. You cannot be a commo anarchist. It's impossible. My head hurt. When I saw that, my head just hurt. I had to take Advil.
I don't understand how we got here. I mean, I understand that we could dissect it and we could take it apart and we could probably figure out how we got here, but I really do not understand how we, the freest country in the world, for the longest time, now have this entire generation of people that are now basically just, I mean, they talk about how they're anti this and anti that because, you know, they're anti hate speech and they're anti this and they're anti that. But all they're doing is censoring people. I mean, look, to this whole Berkeley thing, I am not a fan of either Ann Coulter or the other nozzle that recently got banned from speaking at Berkeley. But the simple fact of the matter is they have a right to say the things that they want to say. You have a right to not listen to those things that they say. But you do not have a right to shut them up. That is not how this works. That is not how free speech is supposed to work. We cannot censor things just because we disagree with them. It's one of the reasons why even as a steeply Christian nation, we have struggled with things like pornography on the internet and other things that a lot of people find offensive because we allow freedom of expression. We cannot stop allowing freedom of expression. If we do, we wind up with groups like Antifa, who are the antithesis of what they say they are. They are saying they're anti-fascist while they're behaving as fascist. It makes absolutely no sense to say that you're standing up for something when you're keeping other people from practicing the same thing that you hold dear. When you say you want to be able to stand up and use Twitter to get your platform across and you're something like Antifa, and yet you're keeping other people from being able to use the same type of platforms in public places to get their platforms across, you are a hypocrite. Plain, simple, period. I'm tired of hypocrisy everywhere. There is so much hypocrisy in this country today that it is pathetic. We have all of these people that say they're for free speech until they hear something they disagree with and then they want it removed. And this is happening everywhere. It's pathetic.
Well, yeah, that's, you know, I mean, I've said it. I had on social media, a little open letter to Antifa. I believe in your right to say what you want to say, but what you're doing is the definition of fascism. So cut the S. That's my letter to them. You know, I mean, they pick a name that's anti-fascist, and then they act like total fascists. But see, they go by the Google definition of fascist, which is, according to Google, a fascist is somebody on the right wing that silences free speech, which is not the definition of fascism. It is not. It's somebody that shuts somebody else down. That is the basic definition of a fascist. If you want to shut somebody else down, shut down their beliefs, shut down what they feel, you're a fascist. That's what a fascist is. I am for anybody saying what they want to say. I can disagree. You can disagree. We can all disagree. Everybody can disagree with each other. That's fine. As soon as you try to shut it down, you are a fascist.
You know, it's interesting that you bring that up because I had never actually looked at that before. But you're right. The very first definition of fascism, when you pull it up on Google, talks completely about it being a right-wing ideology system, an authoritarian and nationalistic right-wing system of government and social organization. and then it gives the breakdown. But then you click on Merriam-Webster, and the definition is completely different. A political philosophy or movement.
Google put that up a couple months ago. That became Google's definition.
I know, but what I'm saying is that's the very first one, because that's the one that Google put in there. But if you actually, there's a link right below there that gives you a link to the Merriam-Webster dictionary, and it actually gives you, as at least from what I can remember, the most accurate definition of fascism. Often capitalized, a political philosophy, movement, or regime, such as that of the fascisti, that exalts a nation and often race above the individual, that stands for centralized autocratic government headed by a dictatorial leader. Who in the right wing wants a centralized government?
Nobody.
So how did all of a sudden fascism become a right wing thing as far as the left is concerned, when the definition, according to Merriam-Webster, has nothing to do with political leanings as far as right or left?
It's because of another reason why I keep more and more liking the Trump administration. As soon as Trump was elected president, groups started redefining fascism. Trump is apparently a fascist, and so is his entire administration. And I am not a quote-unquote Trump supporter, but I am more and more grasping what he's doing. I even the other day, you know, and it was actually a report on Fox, and the report said that the quote-unquote tax reform, which I'm seeing more and more as tax reform, but this was the other day before it came out. They said, this was the report. It said tax cuts for corporations and tax cuts for the poor. And it said nothing about the middle class. I posted a tweet. I was ticked. I went on, I posted a tweet, and I said, here we go. I'm getting screwed again. We're all getting screwed again. The middle class is getting screwed again. Boom. Well, Fox jumped the gun. And it actually, you know, I started looking into it, and I corrected myself last night. I corrected myself. This tax reform bill is actually pretty good. It's pretty good for everybody. It gives people like you and me a pretty good break on, like, the first $24,000 I think we earn every year. It almost gives us the first $24,000 tax-free. Which, yeah, I think is great. And I corrected myself. I went on and corrected myself. And I still got yelled at. Oh, see, you know, you didn't, well, you know what? I watched your Fox News, and that's what I got my information from. So there. You know, but I'm more and more, the more that the resistance and the Antifa and everybody else go after Trump, the more I support him. They think they're winning, and they're actually losing. They're pushing more and more people towards supporting him, and he's really, other than the fact that I'm sick of hearing the word executive order, he's really, I think he's trying his best to keep his promises. Ooh, did you hear my voice break up there?
Actually, I didn't really notice it much on my end, so you were covered until you outed yourself. But no, I mean, look, here's the thing, and there are so many people on all sides at this point that are taking the tax plan apart. I've heard all of these things about how he's supposedly getting rid of all these deductions and blah, 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 blah. If he's giving you basically the first $24,000 that you earn in a year tax-free, what kind of deductions do you actually still need? Point one. But point two, he's actually not. Because if you read what they've been talking about, yeah, they're getting away with some, they're doing away with some of the individual line items that you have to go in to itemize and things like that. But they are giving you double the standard deductions. So they're doubling the standard deductions. They're giving you up to, I believe for a married couple, I think it's restricted to a married couple. I'd have to look again. Is up to the first $24,000 they make is considered tax-free. I'm not sure if that's the same for single folks or not. But you're talking about up to $24,000, which is about, yeah, a little less than half of what my wife and I make in a year. As of right now. Yes, I freely admit I'm poor. I understand this. I didn't used to be, but I have been for quite some time. But it was one of those things where I had a choice. Did I keep killing myself trying to keep a business running that was falling apart, or did I find a job that allowed me to spend a little more time with my family and still manage to pay my bills? So I went with that one. But anyway, so, but putting all of this in perspective, we're literally talking about the fact that he's going to be simplifying the tax code. He's going to make that easier. He's going to get rid of some of these really, really crazy high tax brackets. And at the same time, he's going to you're talking about the fact that no matter who you are, the first $24,000 of your income, if you're either low income or you're married, is going to be tax-free. So I don't understand what the problem is, other than the fact that it's being done by a Republican. Because I guarantee you, if Barack Obama had proposed this, if Bill Clinton had proposed this back in the 90s, there would be dancing in the streets because somebody was finally doing something about the tax code.
Right, and like I said, I doubled back. You know, I dropped back. I admitted I was wrong. I mean, I was wrong because of a report that I watched on the network news, but I admitted I was wrong. And I was like, hey, you know what? This sounds pretty good. I'll admit when I'm wrong. And I think it actually sounds pretty good. And yes, as everybody that listens knows, I'm separated. I am not divorced yet. And we've stayed together for tax reasons and with the kids and everything else. And, you know, we've stayed married, not together. And this may help us for the next 2 years while my youngest daughter is in high school. This will help us financially, you know, which of course means I need to stay married to her for two more years. But, you know, we were thinking about divorce, you know, getting the divorce over with this coming summer. And now we're thinking about, well, let's stay married for two more years because it will actually help us financially. And you know, people will say, well, you're not even together. Why stay married? Well, you know what? It's all about the kids. And the more money we can keep in this relationship, the better it is for the kids. And that's how we've thought about it. And believe me, both of us want to be divorced.
Yeah. I can only imagine. All right, well, we've been on such a tear, and it's been so long since I've done a show, I'm not keeping up with the clock very well. We are almost 10 minutes late for the bottom of the hour break. We're going to have to take a really quick break. When we come back, we'll still have a few minutes of show left, but a little less than usual because we didn't go to break on time. We'll be back in about 3-4 minutes.
Hey, this is John Preston, Marine Combat Veteran and Pacific Records recording artist. Hi, just reaching out to have you check out our new album, Battle Cry, Songs of America's Heroes, an album featuring phenomenal other combat veteran artists like Scott Brown of the Scooter Brown Band, Ryan Weaver, Rowdy Johnson, just an incredible mix of people. This is all veterans telling our stories and our lives, and we're giving 100% of our proceeds to the Valkyrie Initiative to help veterans and first responders integrate back into society. I myself myself have battled with post-traumatic stress for many years and lost my own brother, a Marine Corps veteran, to suicide. I ask that you step with us and make this happen. We are in pre-order right now and release on March 17th. Go to iTunes, go to Amazon, buy. We plan on making the charts and making it at a very high level, and your support right now makes a difference. This is the release of my new song, Superman Falls, which is actually about the loss of my own brother, which happened last year, and I would love for everyone to check it out, to listen, and hopefully it'll make a difference in many lives.
Here's George Foreman with InventHelp.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? Do you have the same questions? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp has been helping inventors for more than 30 years and has sales offices nationwide. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. If you have an idea and want to try to patent it and submit it to companies, you should call InventHelp today for free information.
Listen, I can't guarantee a company will be interested in your idea, but I believe every inventor deserves the opportunity to step into the ring and take their best shot. Put InventHelp in your corner.
Get your free inventor's information. Call 1-800-353-6490. That's 1-800-353-6490. Again, 1-800-353-6490.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-553-8687. That's 800-553-8687. Again, 800-553-8687.
All right, folks. Well, welcome back. Thanks to the fact that you surely forgot that we needed to take a break about 12 minutes ago. We have about 18 minutes left in the show. Still got lots of things to talk about. To kind of backtrack a little bit, because we've been talking about Antifa and everything else. Berkeley and the riots, or the protests, I'm sorry, I call them riots, in Berkeley over supposed free speech, which I'm confused about, because if you're actually trying to talk, keep somebody from talking, I'm not sure how that is a free speech protest. However, There was something that I heard about today that I just had to share just in case nobody else has heard it. Apparently, there were things that were set up for, you know, the protesters in on the Berkeley campus. One of them was, you're not going to believe what I'm about to say, but they had an empathy tent where if you were overwhelmed by the fact that Donald Trump was your president and you just needed somebody to come talk to after you were done yelling and screaming about how hateful Republicans are, you can come into this tent and we'll talk to you here and we'll make you feel better and we'll even offer you a full body massage while we're at it.
Ridiculous. I mean, we're big tough guys and we're going to come out and fight you, but we need a empathy tent. The hell is an empathy tent? You know what? If you want
it's
any respect at all, even if I don't agree with you, stand up for what you're going to stand up for, and be tough about it. I mean, if you need a counselor at your protest, Don't even protest. Just sit down and shut up.
Oh, come on. They're tough. They have man buns.
Oh. You saw that thread last night, didn't you?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, the man buns. And just like I was talking about that guy.
Dan, hang on just a second.
From earlier today.
Hang on just a second. Hey, Ron, I'm not sure if you're having a technical issue or not, but you are typing and we can see you. So I'm not sure if you can hear me, but we can see what you're typing. At least I can. I don't know if Al can. But anyway, okay, sorry. We were seeming to have a technical issue in the chat. Okay, so back to what you were saying. Sorry.
This guy, he... We're communist anarchist guy. I mean, you talk about just lack of self-awareness. He posted a video. This video that he posted was just calling out, I'm sorry, I'm looking for a name. Calling out Elliot Hamilton, who's a writer for the Daily Wire. And he posted this video with his little mask on and his glasses. And he's calling out Elliot and he's literally stuttering. He's so nervous. But he's trying to look tough and sound tough and calling him out and saying, come out to our protest in Boston on the 13th and of next month and then we'll debate this because you're just a statist and we're communist anarchists. And it's like, really, dude? I mean, he's literally stuttering through this video, thinking he looks tough. And it's just, I mean, I just basically said something along the lines of, if I was your father, I'd smack you upside the head right now.
So for those of you
it's some kid that lives in Boston, whose parents have coddled him his whole life. And now he thinks he wants communism, and he's going to call out a guy that's worked really hard and made it as a top writer for the Daily Wire and call him a statist.
Yeah, well, for those of you trying to keep...
From his parents' basement, of yeah. course.
Yeah, I'm sure. Parents' basement using their internet. But for those of you trying to keep... up at home with the home game, just as a reminder, an anarchist communist, communism is a complete and total dependence upon the state. Anarchism is a complete and total lack of a state. Those two cancel each other out, and therefore the whole thing doesn't work. Just saying.
Right. I guess their goal is to create anarchy so that the government will come in and create communism.
But
I guess that's what their goal is.
But it is kind of funny to hear someone who self-identifies as some form of a communist calling someone else a statist.
Right.
I don't know if anybody bothered to point that out.
That's another, you know, the irony in everything they do is, like I said earlier, it's just headache-inducing. Some kid whose parents have coddled him his whole life and given him everything, parents who probably worked hard and make good money, of course, a good chunk of it is their fault that he's the way he is, but he's sitting in his parents' basement hoping for the government to pay his college tuition because he has student loans to pay off. And that's why he wants communism by being an anarchist. I don't get it. I just don't get it. I'm so glad that I have raised my children the way I raised them, because none of them would act like idiots like this.
Well, the scary part is I don't think they're acting like idiots. I think they actually are idiots. That's part of the problem. They don't understand the concepts that they're spouting, and it's why if you do understand the concepts, they sound completely retarded. It's like all of these people that have started taking two completely opposite words, putting a hyphen between them and saying, well, I'm an anarchist communist, okay? So how exactly does that work? And then you try to talk to them about it. Well, it just means this. And I'm like, those two words completely don't mean anything of what you just said. And I don't understand. I mean, and again, these are people, you know, we're talking Berkeley, college campus. Now, granted, most of the people that were protesting apparently weren't college students there, at least not this round. But the simple fact of the matter is, I don't understand. I mean, our education system apparently has failed us. I mean, there's no other way around this at this point.
Public education is done. I mean, public education has been set up to create this. It's totally been set up to create this.
No, you're right. And that's one of the things that I've been saying now for years, and nobody wanted to listen to me, and now it's too late. It's one of the first things that I had a problem with the Bush administration for was the No Child Left Behind stuff. Because, I'm sorry, I don't want a super strong federal government to be telling the local schools here in my area what they need to be doing as far as education. Now, I will freely admit there needs to be some form of a federal structure when it comes to education. There needs to be a set of minimum standards that are enforced across all 50 states so that when you get a diploma in one state, it at least means that you have the proficiency to do the same thing across all other states. But we need to bring innovation back to the classroom. We need to bring this. We need to give the state the ability to determine what type of education works best for their citizens, and then we need to go even a step further, because the local school districts need to be able to determine what best works for their children, because they're the ones that are there. They see the demographics of the children. When the federal government looks at these numbers, all they are seeing is one size fits all, cookie cutter crap, and it doesn't work. I mean, it's the same thing that I've been talking about for employment now for years. We have all of these tests that tell us, because there are like four or five different ways that people learn best. We have all of these tests that tell us all of the different ways that we learn and which ways we learn best. And yet we do not put anything in practice in education that allows us to capitalize on the ways that the people that we're teaching can and do learn best. There should be different types of classrooms for different types of learning styles so that everyone gets the same type of experience. Instead of having one kid who doesn't enjoy reading but loves to work with his hands get completely bored, even though if you tested him, he'd have a 175 IQ. I'm speaking from experience because that happened to my oldest. He was bored out of his mind in elementary school, bored out of his mind through junior high school. He actually dropped out when he got old enough. Because he's like, look, I'm 17 years old. They will let me drop out. I will go take my GED. They tested him for his GED. He topped out in every single class at 17 and a half. Because he knew all of the concepts. He was just bored with them. Because different people learn different ways. We cannot keep doing this cookie cutter approach in education. And we can't keep doing the cookie cutter approach that we've been doing in politics. Because they don't work. All we are doing now is lining up across from each other with our spears, arrows, rocks, guns, spitballs, whatever we can find, and throwing them back and forth at each other. Nothing is being accomplished at the local and state levels or even between parties anymore because nobody's willing to work together anymore. And no matter what Trump does, he can't do anything right because he's either not hard enough or he's too liberal or he's not conservative enough. It doesn't matter anymore. He's president. It doesn't matter that I didn't want him here. It doesn't matter that I didn't vote for him. The simple fact of the matter is we are stuck with him. So we cannot keep rooting for the Titanic to hit the iceberg, which is what all of these people in UC Berkeley and all of these other, or I'm sorry, as I've started calling them UC Berserkly, and all of these other places that have been cheering for him to fail and fall flat on his face. That is the most antithetical, completely un-American thing that you could possibly do. And even with as much as I despised Barack Obama's policies, I never once hoped that he would fall flat on his face, even though he did so on his own quite often.
Yes, he did. And I'm in the same boat with you. I never, ever. I always wanted him to succeed. He's my president. I said he was my president. He was. He was the president of the United States. He's my president. All these people will say, Trump's not my president. Well, he is. You live here. He's your president. Shut up and deal with it. The end. You know, I will hold his feet to the fire. But here lately, more and more, I'm happy. I'm becoming happier, happier, and happier with what he's doing.
I hate this place. Nothing works here. The medications don't work. I've been here for 7 years.
That's still pretty much how I feel
about it. For a guy who's had all of this against him, the resistance and Antifa and everybody else, totally against him, no matter what he does that's wrong, they will find a reason for it to be wrong. The Louise Menches and the Sherry Jacobuses and everybody else, that no matter what he does, it's wrong? No, you're wrong. You're wrong. If he does something that I don't agree with, I will say it. But if he does something that I agree with, I will say that too. You can't have everything. You can't sit there and call yourself a quote-unquote conservative and say that everything he's done is wrong. You can't. If you're going to sit there and say that everything he's done is wrong and call yourself a conservative, just leave. Just go somewhere else because you're wrong. I'm not going to sit here and say that everything he's done is great. I won't. But I will acknowledge when he does things right. And more, he's actually doing things right. I don't agree with the executive orders. I think he needs to push it through proper channels. I think he was trying to get everything in he could before tomorrow, his 100th day. But, well, I guess it's by now we're pretty much approaching today, his 100th day.
Yeah, in your time zone, it's his 100th day.
He's really trying to do what he said he was going to do. He really is.
Well, no, and I get that. I mean, and he really is trying to do a lot of the things that he said he was going to do. And again, he has done quite a few of them. He really has. I mean, he hasn't done everything that he said he was going to do in the first 100 days. But I think he also didn't really think about he's never been in D.C. before. I think he just thought he was going to be able to come in, shake hands, make deals, and move on. These people don't want anything fixed. That's the problem. They don't want things to work. They can't have them work properly, and they can't have them work properly for long, or we don't need them. So he's in there trying to fix things, and they're in there trying to keep them broken.
Yeah. I mean, how many – I would love to go back to Barack Obama's first 100 days. How many things did he get done? You know, I mean, really. I mean, they sit there and say – you know, Pelosi was on, I saw her on the news today. Pelosi was on there and gave Trump an F plus or an F minus on everything that he said he was going to do. Really? Really? Nancy Pelosi? I give Nancy Pelosi an F on everything she's ever tried to do. So there you go. That's my commentary on that. She literally sat there and said, she listed everything. Healthcare, F. North Korea, F. Everything, F. She listed everything. She said, everything, F. He's failed everything, but he hasn't. So keep spouting that.
He hasn't failed everything. He's barely been in office. He's got 3, almost 4 more years. He's only been in office for 100 days. That's what? That's not even 4 months yet. So he's still got, what, basically another 3 2/3 years left? But he's failed already?
Well, according to Nancy Pelosi, he hasn't done anything since he's been in office. Nothing of value since he's been in office, according to Nancy Pelosi. By the way, when how much talking does she have to do before her face cracks? I was just wondering.
I don't know. That's a good question, considering I'm sure most of her face is plastic. Probably explains why she rarely smiles.
Her mouth barely moves when she talks.
All right, well, believe it or not, we are just about out of time already, so we need to start wrapping things up. Anything else you want to touch on real quick?
No, we pretty much, I mean, we hit everything. I mean, everything is, to me right now, everything seems to be North Korea and Antifa. That seems to be the two big subjects going on, and we hit on those pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, one last thing that I really wanted to touch on just on the way out the door, because we really hadn't had a chance to talk about it yet, was the recent situation where ISIS was actually, few folks from ISIS were devoured by some wild boars. That's just hilarious.
Oh, yes. Oh, that was a fantastic story.
That you know, you want to talk
killed
about
by,
you want to talk about irony.
Bacon.
You want to talk about irony. Bacon lends a hand in wiping out ISIS, film at 11. All right, so on that note, folks, we are officially out of time. This has been Robinson and Wright. We come to you live every Friday night on KLRNradio.com. We usually start at about 10 p.m. Central or 11 p.m. Eastern. Used to run for 2 hours. Now we run for about an hour at some point. We may or may not extend it again. Not sure, because it sure seems like the hour goes by way too fast. But on that note, we are out of here. Take care. God bless. I will be back with you live Monday night right here on KLRNradio.com for America Off the Rails. God willing, as long as we don't get flooded out, because apparently there are like tornadoes firing off to the north of me and softball-sized hail and all kinds of fun stuff. So it could be a really fun night. Please pray that I don't wake up in Kansas.
Be safe, brother.
Or Oz, whichever one. All right. Good night, folks. Take care. We're out.